Hello, everybody. It's good to be together, amen? So if you can open up your Bibles to the book of Matthew, and we're going to be mostly in Matthew and in Luke, but we're going to bring up here a slide here in a moment, because you know, we are this time of year, don't we often say Merry Christmas, right? Now, when it's somebody else's birthday, I don't see Merry Birthday. It's a very unusual thing to say Merry Christmas. But it's very meaningful, amen? In fact, a lot of images can pop up when you say Merry Christmas. Santa Claus can pop up. Christmas trees can pop up, right? All presents can pop up. All kinds of things can come into your mind. In fact, if I said, ho, 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 who am I talking about? Who was that red-nosed reindeer? Frosty the... Whose heart was two sizes too small? Think about that. I'm dreaming of a... And who comes to mind? Bing Crosby, right? But you know what? There are so many other things around this Christmas season that aren't commercialized. There are so many things around this Christmas season that are full of meaning. For instance, Silent Night. See? That just comes right out of our hearts. Away in a... The story, right? O little town of the first. Right? Think about all the things that are just drilled into our conscience through just our experiences. Joy to the Lord, right? Merry Christmas is because of joy to the world. It's because of what we've been given. Oh, come all ye. Right? Think about that. You can't stop. It just flows out of you. It exudes from your soul. Because there is just a great deal of legitimate excitement surrounding this time of year. We know that we don't know exactly when Jesus was born. We do know it was at night, right? That's when angels came to the shepherds. But we don't know exactly when. But we do know God was excited, right? We do know a lot of things came together to make it happen. In fact, the phrase Merry Christmas is actually an intentional thing in terms of what it's trying to communicate. It's to make merry. It's more of an action verb, like be happy. Merry Christmas. You know, happy actually comes more from the connotation of happenstance. It's by chance. And we know they say Happy Christmas in England, and if you're from the Caribbean, you probably say Happy Christmas. I'm not going to pick on Happy Christmas. But Merry Christmas is actually be happy, be merry. An amazing thing has happened. Amen? So we're going to take some time to look at some of the amazing things that had to happen in order for us to actually have a Merry Christmas. So if you look in Matthew chapter 1, you want to look at some of these things today? Amen? Matthew chapter 1. First, this guy Joseph, who helped to raise Jesus. If you grew up in an Irish home and somebody got frustrated, you often hear the phrase, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. And you'd be like, oh, I'm in trouble now. And then there'd be for Pete's sake. But in Matthew chapter 1, first of all, Joseph was a very patient and humble man. Let's look in chapter 1 and verse 18 to get evidence of this. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph was her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. This is high drama. You are engaged to be married, and your bride to be tells you, "Oh, by the way, I'm pregnant, and it's by the Holy Spirit." Yeah. Imagine if you were engaged and finding out the woman you're about to marry tells you she's pregnant in some amazingly hard-to-believe way for a lot of people, right? As a man, you might have blown up her spot to just save your face. But what was his heart? His heart was, I don't want to expose her to public disgrace. His heart was, I want to really trust this situation. He was very calm, right? Think about that. Honestly, wasn't he very calm? Don't you think he could have went on a public rant just to make sure that he saved his own situation and saved his own reputation? Because he could have been like, I've been cuckolded, you know? If you don't know what that is, go look it up. It's an SAT word. But the point being, it's something where he was more concerned about her than he was about himself. And because he was calm, good things came out of it. In fact, I want to encourage you guys with the phrase of keep calm and carry on. Because sometimes we're faced with situations where we feel like we have to react in some extraordinary way. And maybe we don't. In fact, can you think of a time when you've overreacted and then had to apologize? You know, the Jesus story could have happened, but Joseph could have been out of it at this moment. He could have been like, I'm out of here. I'm done with this. Talk to the hand. See you later. Don't let the door hit you on the way out. Instead, he took time to think about things. And I want to encourage us here today. Don't write yourself out of the story that God's trying to write you into due to a plot twist you hadn't anticipated. He didn't shut the door on the situation, even though this was completely outside of his wheelhouse. Do you understand? Joseph was a very patient and humble man. In fact, we have a promise like that from God today too in Romans chapter 8. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who've been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That's us here today, amen? And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Honestly, if God is for us, who can be against us? This is a powerful scripture. God is on our side. He is for us. But see, it's easy to embrace that when all the good things are happening. It's hard to embrace that when it's difficult and you're facing things that just don't seem to make sense. Joseph faced a situation that just didn't seem to make sense. But he didn't freak out. He took time to think about it. He took time to consider someone else in the situation. Isn't that an amazing thing? But see, for us, we could imitate that. And we can embrace Romans 8 and trust that God is for us. So even in the hardest of times, because some of us, life has gone the way we wanted, and some of us, life hasn't yet turned out the way we've hoped. But if we're in church here today, we're in a good place. And if you're in Christ here today, you're in the best place. No matter how hard it is, this is the place you should be, and I'm glad that we're all together. Amen? Now, just to see what came out of Joseph's calm reaction. Look in Matthew chapter 1. We're going to continue in verse 20. So remember he said he was going to divorce her quietly, right? But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived from her in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Think about that. Because he took the time to think about her, because he took the time to consider the situation. What was able to happen? An angel of the Lord was able to come and bring him insight and understanding that he wouldn't have gotten any other time or place. Imagine if he'd have shut the door when he first found out the news. Maybe this angel was on the way. We know in the book of Daniel, Daniel had started fasting and praying, and it took 21 days for the angel that God had sent to come to him because he was fighting some spiritual battles to get there. God may be striving to send you the answer to your prayers right now, but you just need to persevere until the answer gets to you and not freak out that it hasn't come quick enough. Imagine this. Imagine later on in life him telling Jesus, when I was engaged, your mother was pregnant and I didn't know what to do. And then because I waited and prayed and thought and considered, an angel told me the answer. Now, we've heard so many stories in our fellowship of truly miraculous outcomes in situations that will just blow your mind. In fact, Fitz, who just got baptized, we're going to recognize him, he told me a story when he was a teenager that he had all of a sudden this amazing insight into some nefarious acts that someone was going to do it in his household. And because he warned his dad, their whole family was saved. And that's just a part of his journey to being Christian. Amen? He could have been wiped out at that moment, but God worked in some powerful ways. We have to understand that if we persevere, we're going to have a great story to tell. Amen? And all of us have those kinds of stories to tell. But it will only come when we persevere, even in the hardest of times. You know, because he was patient, he got his question answered in a very cool way. You know, we need to be trusting that God's going to give us some very cool answers and some very amazing insights. We need to wait for God's answer. Now, as we continue reading, I want you to try and see, there's about four ways as we continue reading that we're going to be able to see Joseph's humility and urgency to obey God. This is verse 22. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave her the name, he gave him the name Jesus. Jump down to chapter 2, verse 11. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with the gifts of gold, of incense, and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. But when they had gone on, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. While he stayed there until the death of Herod, and so was fulfilled what the Lord had said to the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. As we look at these two passages, first, didn't Joseph obey what God told him to do? He took her home and took her as his wife. And then, when the child was born, what name did he give him? Jesus. Now, think about this. When your child is born, don't you think you want to have some input on the name of the child? Okay, when we lived in Zimbabwe, there's a whole competition about naming children that goes on. Everyone that comes in the house tries to give the child a different name. It's true. There's a brother that's born tomorrow, and guess what his name was and is? It's Christmas, because tomorrow's Christmas. It's Christmas. Get a load of that. Now, we didn't find out until his father had passed away that he actually hated the name Christmas, so he legally changed his name to Chris. But out of respect for his father for decades, he kept that name. Joseph named his son Jesus because God said to. He really took to heart what God expected him to do for his son in raising him. That's an amazing humility. Because as parents, as Christians, as having a part in the life of kids, either directly with our own kids or the children that are in our fellowship, there's an expectation as to how we're supposed to be for our kids. It's a pretty high and clear expectation. But Joseph was willing to listen to God. And then even down in verse 14 of chapter 2, where he were warned about Herod's actions, how quickly did he flee to Egypt? In the middle of the night. So, you know, that quick obedience, what does that signal? A great deal of humility and a great deal of urgency. And he didn't just stay a week. He didn't just stay a month. The Bible says it might have been up to 2 years that he stayed in Egypt to protect Jesus from Herod. Think about the urgent humility and perseverance that Joseph showed. Can't we imitate that? Amen? Sometimes we can be humble for a short time and persevere for a short time, but there's times we're going to have to persevere for a long time. But Joseph did that. And that's a great part of this story. Can you imagine him being able to tell Jesus, an angel visited me. An angel visited shepherds in the field. An angel came and warned me. These magi came and honored you. Now, you see, don't you see he was able to tell how his faith and his actions came together and made God's word even more real? See, as men and women in this church, we need to be able to share our story with our kids so that they can be built up, that it's not just the word of God that's true. It's the word of God living in our life that's true and powerful. Amen? We need to trust these things. God is working in our lives, but we have to bring it to fruition. Don't you think it would have been really cool to be Jesus and to hear these stories from Joseph? And don't you think Joseph probably told them a lot? We have our stories, right? There's those stories that when your kids hear it, oh, there goes that story again. But who cares? If it's an inspiring story, it's a great story. Does that make sense? But you know, in Deuteronomy 6, where we're told to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And he's talk about these things on the road, when you get up, when you lay down, when you eat. Do you think Joseph had any difficulty talking about God with Jesus all the time? I don't think he did. But you see, we could imitate that and talk about God and his role in our lives all the time, because the world is competing for our kids' hearts. But what are we trying to do to get our kids to embrace the God that we love and serve? Amen? But we need to share God in our lives. It can't just be some cold story in the Bible. It needs to be how it's affected us. It needs to be what it's done for us. In fact, this is a book I would really recommend getting. It's called Owning Faith. And a few quick quotes from it. This is a survey that was done in a church, one of our churches. It says, the minister asked, do you think it's important to pass down your faith to your children? As you might expect, 90% said, yes, it's very important. I don't know about that 10%. Do you think your child should have a strong faith when he or she gets out of college? Again, 90% responded, you bet. Outside of going to church, what are you doing intentionally to introduce and build a growing faith in your child? Fewer than 30% were doing anything purposefully to meet that goal during the 166 hours a week their children weren't at church. We cannot be in that descriptive category, can we? We need to be purposefully doing things to build up our kids' faith. Amen? In fact, we can't outsource the spiritual formation for our children. Parents are more influential than anyone else in a child's life. Studies show that mom and dad are two or three times more influential than any church program. Kids must be hearing about faith at home. Amen? Now, if kids got to hear about faith at home, what do you think we need to do for each other as Christians in each other's lives? What does the scripture say we're supposed to do? Encourage one another. Isn't that what we're trying to do for our kids? Encourage them, which means to put courage into them. Well, in our homes and in our Bible talks and in our relationships, we need to be putting courage into one another. We need to be making the Bible come alive. And Joseph was a very humble and patient man, but his heart was greatly communicated in the way he trusted God and obeyed him. And you see, we need to be able to tell our stories to the young'uns among us, but we need to tell them to each other. We need to build each other up. We don't need to just keep our stories to ourselves and even think adults, they should know what they're doing. Does any of us need encouragement in here throughout the week? Right? Sometimes we just need to know someone's praying for us. Sometimes we just need advice. Sometimes we just need some good news. Does that make sense? Now, the next thing here in this story about why we can have such a Merry Christmas, if we go to the next slide, is God provided a solution for Joseph and Mary and was excited about his own son's birth. Think about that. How did he provide a solution? When we looked at the Magi, what did the Magi do that helped to provide a solution for Joseph? Anyone catch it? What did the Magi leave? Which of those things do you think was the most valuable thing for a two-year journey to a country you'd never been to and there were no ATM machines? The gold. See, there was honor being given Jesus, but there was a practical solution being given Jesus. He gave him gold. What do you think that gold was able to do when Joseph and Mary and Jesus were down in Egypt for that time? Didn't it provide them a means to live? These were not rich people. When they went to present Jesus at the temple, it says they offered two small doves. That's what a poor person could offer at the temple as a sacrifice for their son being presented at the temple. They were poor. But God provided the way. It said, the Bible says they might have been there for up to 2 years. God gave them a way out of it. You know, even if we don't see the way, don't give up. Keep asking for being able to see the way, because God's going to provide it. But you have to have the courage to embrace it. Sometimes the way is there, but it's just hard. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 is an encouragement to us. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. God provides us ways out of temptation. God provided a way to save his son. He intervened. He sent an angel. Herod's coming. He didn't just say Herod's coming. That very time, he had just seen the Magi and they had dropped off a whole bag of gold, or how much gold, I don't know, but it was a lot. And all of a sudden, Joseph had the solution to what he needed to do. I can go right now. I don't even need to figure things. I don't need to sell my business. I got this gold. I'm going to flee in the middle of the night. Now, we know that when Jesus was born, he was born in what city? Bethlehem, right? We know that when, where did Jesus, Joseph and Mary, where did they have to come from to get to Bethlehem? Nazareth. Well, I looked it up on Google Maps. They're still both there. And I looked up how far of a journey it is walking from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Today, with the roads that are there today, 33 hours of walking. Now, we know that they walked. She rode a donkey some of the way, but they walked. It was probably more like 40 hours back then. How many days of a journey would that be, assuming 8 hours a day? Quick math? Like 5 days. College did you good. 5 days. How could moving to Bethlehem have made it easier for Joseph? Think about that. God did something here that made this a little bit easier for Joseph. Because it was far away from Nazareth, right? 5 days, that's a long way. He showed up there, he was married, his wife was pregnant. Did he have to deal with any of the drama of a wife being pregnant when they got married in the first place? In that city, no. Sometimes we need a change of circumstances. Sometimes we need to change who's around us, because some of the old drama that follows us. So when you come into being a Christian, some of those old friends, they're not really friends. How many of your, I've lost a lot of my old friends when I came into Christ, because my old friends, all they wanted to do was be worldly friends. Now, some of them became Christians, and one of my roommates became a Christian, and sadly he passed away, but he was faithful to the Lord. Amen? But a lot of my other friends, wouldn't want to be ya. They weren't open to what I was about. But I couldn't let them drive my dialogue. I think God moved Joseph just because he didn't have to deal with the drama of the Nazareth. You know, oh, she'd be married. She was pregnant already. I think it gave him an easier situation. We need to appreciate the fact that in becoming Christians, we're a new creation. Amen? You know, it's just an amazing thing. God gave them new digs. You know, some of you guys might want to know, how can we access God's care and concern? Would you like to know how you can get God's care and concern watching over your life? Would you want to get the same insight into that? Because, you know, God watched over Joseph, didn't he? God watched over Jesus. God watched over Mary. Do you think he wants to watch over us too? Well, in Matthew chapter 6 in verse 33, here's the secret. It's one of my bellwether scriptures. Because from the moment I said I wanted to be a Christian, most of the life I had lived up until that point had been surrounding a faith and an upbringing from an Irish Catholic background. And I wanted to just be a Christian. That was anathema to my family. And I faced many years of challenging dynamics with my family. But God worked it all out in the end. But this scripture is the one that stood out to me, because I had to trust it. Matthew 6, verse 33. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things, which are the things you could worry about, will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, what does it say will happen if we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness? All these things, the things you could worry about, if you look a little earlier in Matthew 6, will be given to you as well. Why I'm telling you this is God shares the same concern for us that he shared for his own son. Even more so, he gave up his son for us. If God acted in that way to save and preserve his son, to bring his son up in this world so that he could die and sacrifice himself for us, don't you think he cares just as much about us? But you see, sometimes we pray for God to take care of us, but we don't look for how we can access directions to that care. Sometimes we look at him like the magic wand. You know, the magic wand God, you know. But practically, we have to do something to stay in that path that's guided and protected by God. We have to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. We need to make the fellowship here a priority. We need to make the righteousness God calls us to live the way we live. Following that direction and path is the way we can stay inside of God's care and concern. Sometimes we've wandered way outside of that. And we're wondering, why isn't God taking care of me? Duh, he doesn't want you to succeed outside of his path. What did he do to the prodigal son? A famine occurred. All these things happened to him. And finally he came to his senses. God wants us to follow in his path that he's laid out for us. And in that there's hope, direction, and life. Amen? He wants to watch over us, but we have to prioritize. If you're visiting here, take time to learn the Bible. Someone invited you out. Study the scriptures with them. Learn what it means to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness so that you can follow that. If as a Christian you've wandered away from that, repent. It's just that simple. Get back in your Bible. Get back in your walk with God. Get back in your prayers. Get the sin out of your life. Get back on God's path. I'm walking down heaven's road, right? We got to walk the right path. It's not that hard. God really does care for us. He really does want us to be loved, cared, and concerned for. The last thing is God was excited about his son. God was excited. How many of us have had children born to us? Wasn't it an exciting time? Amen? And how many people in your family, there's that nephew or niece in your family that, oh, you're just so cute and chubby, I just love you to death. We got that person in our family that it just excites us. Well, in Luke chapter 2, we get to see proof of God's excitement about his son. Because, you know, it's a Merry Christmas because Jesus came into the world. But the reason we can see God is merry is what did he do in Luke chapter 2 that showed his excitement? Look here in verse 8. There were shepherds living in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. I want you to look and see all the evidences. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This is a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to the men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured all these things up and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned. They came back, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which was just as they had been told. There is a whole bunch of things in here that show God's excitement. There was an angel. There was the glory of the Lord. The angel spoke to them, a great company of the heavenly host. They were told to look for him in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothing. Do you think the shepherds were excited? What do you guys think? What's the evidence? It says they hurried off. They went and they told it to other people. They found it exactly as they had been told. And they even came back. They went away and they came back. You know someone's excited when they come to the hospital to visit you with the baby, and then they go away, and they come back to visit the baby again. Like when Caitlin was born, Caitlin bought a doll for McCall as a newborn. We read these things, and it's really valuable for the child to feel connected. Huh? Caitlin bought a present for McCall as a newborn. Why? Because you want the new child and the old child to bond. So we read somewhere that doing this is a good thing. So we gave her a doll when we McCall a doll when Caitlin was born. Sounds corny, but point being that we want to do special things. But imagine when your child is born and someone comes to visit you, and then later on they come back to visit you again. Most people might visit once, and they'll be postings all over Facebook and every other social media, right? But the point being that when somebody comes back a second time, you know, boy, they're really excited. The shepherds return back again, glorifying and praising God. God had a birth announcement about his son. He was that excited. Think of I tried to look up what a rendering of the heavenly host would have looked like. There was nothing that was drawn that I could pull into this that actually felt like what it would be like. So I was like, I can't do it. Just imagine it. Imagine the angels filling this space. and the glory of the Lord and an angel speaking. That's just an amazing thing. God feels the same way about us. Do you guys know that? In Isaiah chapter 62 in verse 5, as a young man marries a maiden, so your sons will marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices over his bride, so will God rejoice over you. This is part of Isaiah chapter 62. And 61 is the prophecies about how Jesus will be born. And this is talking about God's excitement about the people who will follow Jesus. Amen? God, what does he do? He rejoices over you. He is just as excited about the men and women who want to be Christians and followers of his son today as he was about the birth of his son thousands of years ago. We get to say Merry Christmas because it is a Merry Christmas. God did things to make amazing things to be communicated for us to have even evidence of today. He said, angel, pop up. Heavenly host, you're queued up. You speak. You this, you that. You know, he just made all of these things happen to cause a Merry Christmas. And that's why we can really embrace this and tell people, Merry Christmas. And the reason isn't just a platitude or the time of year. It's because what does Christmas represent? The birth of our Lord, our Savior. Amen? And as we tell people Merry Christmas, we need to even take a chance to share our faith about it. This is a time of year where we can, hey, I'd like to invite you out to we're a real Christ-centered church. We really love what Jesus has done for us and what God has done. We want you to come and be with us because it is a Merry Christmas. Let's just not make it a greeting. Let's make it an opportunity. Amen? And let's be encouraged in our own hearts that we can have this Merry Christmas because of the great love that God has for us. Let's imitate Joseph's heart in being patient and humble and in doing things to impress God on those around us and on our kids. Amen? And persevering through even the challenging situations of life where we stick to God's plan even when it seems to be hard for us to follow that. And I hope you guys do have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and every other great thing that can come out of it. Amen?